Hi everyone, thank you for coming to my talk. This was actually part of my master's thesis, which I defended not too long ago. And so we were looking at U.S. soil survey put on data, because as you all know, there is a great importance behind soil put on data. And soil put on data is used as an input for many predictive models, as you've heard already in the previous talks. Soil is a complex system, and so you can use this in models to assess yield, to help develop infrastructure, to use it for nutrient management, et cetera. All of these are national issues that are important. And you can use it from the regional to field scale or even smaller. And so first we were looking at the current status of soil put-on data. This is a map of the global U.S. soil survey put-on points. And as you can see, most of the points fall in the United States. So the United States has been sampled very heavily in the past century. And the National Cooperative Soil Survey provides, maintains this data. And on their website, they state under the general information of this put-on data that the database has not been edited to remove all of the erroneous or sometimes misleading data, and that it is up to the user to assess the accuracy and the applicability of this information. However, we feel that most users either are not familiar with this statement or they assume that this data has been validated because it's been published by the government. So we know that due to database migrations, a lack of quality control, as well as inherent error associated with soil surveying, the soil put-on data for the United States is often incomplete or not in a usable format, as well as erroneous. And so we set out to try to assess the positional accuracy of these points. We wanted a measure of accuracy. So we developed a methodology to improve the positional accuracy of the put-on point data for Indiana, focusing on points that were sampled before GPS was used widely in the field. We wanted to place the put-on points in a geographic location in an environment that was originally described by the soil scientists who sampled these points. And we also wanted to assign a measure of the positional accuracy because we felt that just saying that it was accurate or not very accurate wasn't enough. We needed some sort of measure. And so our hypotheses were that legacy data and expert knowledge are necessary tools to improve the positional accuracy of put-on points from the U.S. Soil Survey. That these put-on points can be moved to a more accurate location by matching their environment, their soil environment, to information that is stored in the survey databases or in this legacy data. And finally, that ArcGIS tools can be developed to assign a clear measure of positional accuracy. And so U.S. Soil Survey put-on data for Indiana was first collected in 1967. It was part of a collaborative effort between the U.S. Soil Survey and Purdue University. And here's an example of a soil profile description form that was completed in the field. And so these soil profiles, these samples, usually contain a site description. And so this included landscape details, the describer's information, as well as the date that it was described. And most importantly, it gave information on the location of this point. And so this was a way to locate this point, you know, for before GPS was used. And this location was based on the PLSS, or the Public Land Survey System grid, which is a tier system of decreasing area parcels. So it's used in 30 states, and they specifically referenced one of the 5 points of the sections of the PLSS. So the 5-point system, as it was called, described a location as the distance and cardinal direction from a corner or center of a section. In this example here, parcel B would be described as the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter of the southwest quarter of section 10, township 2 north, range 3 west, and in this case, the second principal meridian. And so this is how soil scientists would describe their location of the soil sample point. So what they would do is that they would mark on a topo map or an aerial photograph their location in the field. They would return to their office, use a ruler with a scale, and measure the distance to one of these 5 points references of the PLSS, where they could see, clearly see the outline of PLSS components in these references. Okay. And so after we learned that this is how they were locating their points in the field prior to GPS, We wanted to know how it was that all of the points now, including those sampled before GPS, had XY coordinates. And so we spoke with the expert, Thomas Rinch, from the NRCS headquarters. He developed what he called the PLSS conversion model, which essentially took the textual location descriptions from these points and assigned them a coordinate location on NAD83. And we found that there were several issues with this model. The first of which was that the accuracy of this model depended highly on equal area polygons of the PLSS. However, we know that the way that the PLSS survey grid was surveyed, that there were imperfections in the northwesternmost sections of the grid. They weren't always equal area. His model assumed that the corners were a certain distance north and south, and east and west of the section centroids, which were automatically generated in a system that he used. And also, his model did not locate points further or beyond the section. And so if they were described to the quarter or the quarter-quarter, or even more detailed, the quarter-quarter-quarter section, his model would only locate them somewhere in the section because this was the reference that he had. And then his computer code was written in Visual Basic for Access, and it's very difficult to follow. So we developed a methodology to assess the accuracy of these positions. First, we needed to acquire a full set of PEDON points. And so we asked expert soil scientists to help us with this because a lot of this data is buried in several tables in NASIS. And so we collected roughly 4,000 PEDON points for Indiana and their official NASIS PEDON locations, and we plotted them on a map, and we found that four of these points and a few others actually didn't fall within Indiana at all. There was one point in Greenland, in the Atlantic Ocean, in Missouri, and Ohio. And so these were obvious errors that we could point out and that we made the soil scientists aware of course. Next, we populated missing details. There were many hundreds of PEDON points that were missing principal meridian information. And as you can see, in Indiana, we have the first and second principal meridian. And the same township and range can exist in both principal meridians. His model did not take this into consideration, and so oftentimes there were duplicate points for the PEDON that were plotted using only the PLSS conversion model. There are also issues with missing or erroneous directionality of these points, and so in the townships and ranges, often their directions were switched, and so we corrected this. This was an obvious error to us. And then we had to assume that if the PLSS details did not contain a five-point reference, then that point was sampled in the center of the smallest parcel that was described in the location descriptions. Okay. So we knew that the PLSS grid that Thomas Rinch had used for his PLSS conversion model was only as detailed as the sections, because that was the most detailed digitized PLSS grid available for Indiana. So we sought out to create a more detailed PLSS grid. And the way that we did this was essentially by tracing the surveyor's steps. Using Albert White's report, he collected a series of reports in a history of the rectangular survey system. And I read the 1850 general instructions to his deputies for the surveyors. And this included meticulous details of how the PLSS grid was surveyed. I took those textual descriptions and I created a visual representation and found that four sets of sections with different dimensions for their boundaries were described. For each of these four sets of the sections, I created formulas to essentially define them mathematically, the corners and the sections of the centers. I'm sorry, the centers of the sections. And in this way, we created a much more detailed PLSS grid for Indiana with quarter, quarter, quarter sections. Here this is how we validated the grid. So we overlaid it on topo maps and aerial imagery, focusing specifically on sections 1 and 6, which tended to be the the smallest or the ones with the most error in how they were surveyed. And we found that our PLSS grid fell right over the outlines of the PLSS components in these other two reference maps. We also compared it with the Department of Natural Resources map, which is publicly available, and it is the most detailed PLSS grid for Indiana, aside from the one from Indiana map. And as you can see, ours follow the PLSS grid lines a lot better Theirs is an equal area polygon. So now that we have this new, more detailed PLSS grid, we wanted to use the PLSS details from the PEDON points, parse those, and locate these points using a new model, which we call the PLSS PEDON point model. So in order to get a relative positional accuracy of our PLSS points and the official NASA's point locations, we used the distance formula. We found that 40% of the points were within 100 meters of each other. And here on the map on the right, larger circles mean greater distance. Smaller circles are smaller distance between the points. But this wasn't really a measure of accuracy. So in order to get the measure of accuracy for the PEDON points, we actually related the site descriptions for these points to what we call the soil environment in our soil environment match model. And so these PEDON site descriptions details contain information of the site, such as the drainage class, parent material, and taxonomic classification from the order to the family particle size. So we use this information, and we compared it at that point for that PEDON from the official NASA's point location to data in Sirgo. So we use legacy data for this. We took the MU key at that PEDON point location and its component details for up to three major components to see if there was a match to the soil environment at that official location. And we found that, surprisingly, NASA's PEDON points had a much greater percent agreement, those are in blue, than our PLSS points, even for points that were sampled before GPS, which hinted to us that there were updates done to these points, that they had information additional to just the PLSS details to relocate these points in a better location. Those points that did not match, we used an additional model called the Nautilus Match Model, which extended the radius of the search radius of the soil environment match model to 140 meters to see if we could find a new matching soil environment for these points. And so this is the results of our models. Overall, the soil environment match model showed that 1,300 of the 4,000 points were an exact match to the soil environment as far as Sirgo goes. And so we assigned them a positional accuracy of 0 meters. For the points that had no match, we ran the Nautilus match model, and we found that 283 points had a match within 140 meters, and those that just didn't match through any of these models, greater than 140 meters. We realize that there's limitations to this model. There's deficiencies in the input PEDON data. We don't know if there have been updates. There is no record of updates. Also, we recognize that Sirgo components of the soil environment, that's a generalization of the soils. However, we do feel that when soil scientists sampled the PEDON and they collected information, sent it for analysis, they were doing so because they recognized that it was the soil within that map unit delineation. And it's very high computing processing power to run these PEDON points. In conclusion, we've developed multi-process models, multi-purpose models, that can be customized and used in ArcGIS. Now they're ArcGIS tools, which we'll be releasing soon. A new, more detailed PLSS grid that anybody can use for Indiana. And really, we've been able to inform soil scientists of these errors, and hopefully this will be as a guide for countries that are now developing their soil databases, so they know to include an updates column, because I think it's very important to know where the information is coming and what changes have been made. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
What about change? Over the last decade, there have been many changes happening to a landscape. If you do know in positional accuracy assessment, retrospectively, there are possibly many sources of errors in the assumptions.
And so we tried to use, we defined our soil environment is only this parent material, drainage class, and taxonomy be cadastric within the last 60 years. But definitely if we incorporated the landform and other terrain derivatives in this model to assess the locational accuracy, we would probably find some differences. It would be a lot more harder. And land use and climate, all of those, yes. But we just focused on these four.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.